coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Wow. It's June 1st, 2020, the first day of June, coming out of the gate. It's going to be a hot summer. 7 years ago this month, it was June of 2013, I had written an article titled, It's About to Get Very Ugly. Something to that effect. In fact, that was showcased by Glenn Beck at the time. And this was in reference to the attempts by the anarchists led by Barack Hussein, Bathhouse Barry Obama to create civil societal unrest. And it also involved it involved a number of things. But at the epicenter, the focus of this was to cause civil unrest within our country. And of course, the destabilization of our country. And of course, you know, at the time and even subsequent to that time, that was said, oh, you know, you're just it's just fear porn. It's fake news. It's not true. Well, what happened this weekend? What happened over the last 72, 96 hours? What have we seen? We've seen really a country, a nation on fire. And I'm sure, folks, you're kind of tired of hearing about this and seeing this. But what you're seeing is not, we're not looking at peaceful protests. We're looking at anarchy. That's what we're looking at, anarchy. And it's not of the spontaneous type. It is planned. It is well organized and it is well funded. You know, I have a saying, it's never about the spoon. I often say that, it's never about the spoon. And that's a playoff. I think it was the show Everyone Loves Raymond. It was about us. Anyway, it's never about what you think it is or what they tell you it is. This is not about the death of a black man. The protests, some of the protests perhaps are started off that way, but the bottom line, the rioting, the setting fires to the churches, the breaking into the businesses, looting the businesses. It's not about the death of a black man. And I watched this weekend carefully, the broadcasts, and even in my own hometown, the news. I watched the fake news networks saying, these are all peaceful protests. It's all peaceful. In fact, I chuckled, actually. I'm not sure if we have Eric the Tech. By the way, how you doing, Eric?
I'm doing good.
You know, this week, this Wednesday is Eric's birthday. Just saying.
It is.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right. Coming up. Getting old. But do we have that MRC Newsbusters clip? Can we play that? All right. It just amazed me to see how many newscasters saying these are peaceful protests. For the most part, these are peaceful. As St. John's Church in Washington, D.C., the Church of the Presidents was set on fire. As fires raged in Washington and Minneapolis and Los Angeles, Santa Monica for crying out loud, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, around me. Takes me back to, have faint memories of 1968. That was the Democratic National Convention and such. We also have reports that conservative journalist Sandra Fairbanks, her house was, the left attacked her house. By the way, that's from Washington. Am I correct or is that, we don't know. Okay.
I think so.
All right. Thanks, Eric the Tech. What you're seeing, if you're watching this, that's Washington, D.C. That's a fire set in Washington, D.C.
Is that St. John's?
Yeah, it looks to be, yes, looks to be. Is that a cutaway picture? In other words, are there two images there in one, or is that?
Yeah, the image was of on the left, St. John's, on the right, I can't remember what building that was, but that's not St. John's on the right.
Okay, well, thank you. But that really is what's been taking place this past, over the last 72 hours in earnest, 96 if you spread it out a little bit more. But again, this is not about retribution or about protesting the death of a black man while in police control. By the way, there's a huge rabbit trail on that. If you really want to get into the granular level details about George Floyd, about his, you know, what he did, why he ended up in police custody. And again, that's not to make any excuses whatsoever for what happened. But when you start taking apart the cause of his death, and again, the cause, you know, optics are pretty interesting on this. What causes death versus what people believe causes death, as well as the things that he was involved in before the police caught him, as well as his relationship with the actual police officer who is depicted with his knee on his neck. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But at any rate, you've got all of these videos. In fact, we don't even have to play that video. Don't worry about it unless you have it at the ready. Don't worry about it. What's that? All right. Let's play this to show, because I want to show you, because chances are if you're watching this, you're not really watching the network news. Watch this compilation clip of broadcasters talking about the riots, the looting, the violence. Watch how they depict this to the average person who watches TV. Go ahead.
Although many of the protests have been peaceful, we can't emphasize that enough.
It should be noted that the demonstration here in Washington, and this is the case around much of the country as well, those demonstrations were largely peaceful.
And I just want to reiterate, most of the protests that we saw this weekend were peaceful.
But most protests remained peaceful.
There have been mostly peaceful demonstrations.
And I think it's so important, Kareem, to make the distinction between, for the most part, these protests are peaceful.
One woman told me she couldn't help but notice how beautiful it all was.
All right. We'll stop it right there. You get the idea. I don't think we have to go any further. So what's all behind this? For example, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Joe Biden, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, all of the usual suspects. And just so people know, President Trump had broken his silence this weekend. He slammed Joe Biden's staff for working to get the anarchists out of jail. In case you haven't known, or in case you don't know about this, in fact, I think he did it this morning. I don't think it was over the weekend. I think he did it this morning. The Biden staff and others are actually funding the release, the bail for these rioters, the looters, the people who've been arrested. These people. Barack's kids. I mean, if he had a son, maybe he'd look like that. I don't know. I'm just quoting Barack Hussein Obama. This is what we're seeing. And I did speak, and we're going to go right to John Moore. I did speak with a police officer in my town. By the way, four businesses in my town of Erie were damaged, heavily damaged. And a couple of people were hurt. And the conversation I have with a police officer, although brief because he was very busy, he said, you know, the riot, the actual origin of the riot, It did not originate from people from this town. There were the people who, and there it is, in my town over the weekend. This was on Saturday night. You can see the police there. And John, I don't know if you can see that, but this is in my town on Saturday night. There's the Erie Police Department lined up.
That crowd was bigger than what this picture shows.
Oh, much bigger.
That must have been after a tear gas was released, they dispersed, and then they come back, then they disperse, and they come back.
Yep. And I actually talked with my friend at the police department. I said, you know, I was going to go down and take some video. And he said, don't come down. Don't do that. Don't just stay where you're at. I said, all right, fine. But numerous pictures at GoErie.com, and you can see the damage from the and look at that. That was a girl, by the way, a girl who threw that chair into the window of a business. They've got her on video. But he did say that the organizer, period, singular organizer of what happened in my hometown was from out of town, out of the state. There it is in the 400 block of State Street, the main road through the city, a shop owner cleaning up the glass from his business. And there were three others like that, damaged, pretty heavily damaged, including the Historical Society here in town.
And I think the Children's Museum was vandalized too.
Sure, yeah. And right now we've got actually the big box home stores putting lumber, big pallets of lumber in front of the doors. We've got the local Walmarts taking countermeasures for potential looting here in this small town. But where it's coming from an organization outside of our town. And that's what's happening all across the country. It's being organized. This is not spontaneous. And just real quick here, when you start getting into, for example, Black Lives Matter, which is an organization behind a lot of this, established back in 2013, this was in response to that man, it was a response to the Trayvon Martin killing. And their intent is to stoke black rage over the anti-black racism within the society, but specifically against police. And their claim, they claim that America was originally built on indigenous genocide and chattel slavery. And it continues to thrive on the brutal exploitation of people of color. That's Black Lives Matter. And then, of course, Antifa, which we know about the origins of Antifa, at least to some extent. It's a communist anarchist movement. And this is the common thread this weekend that we saw. They endorse violence. It's a Marxist, anarchist militia movement. They want to bring down the United States from within. And, you know, this has been around in one form or another since really in earnest since the 1960s. And back in my 2013 column, there was no direct reference to Antifa, but it's the actions, the Marxist anarchist revolutionary activities that I referenced. So with John Moore, thelibertyman.com is his website. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. How are you doing, sir?
Better, Doug. It wouldn't be legal.
If I was any happier, I'd be two people. Yeah, I gotcha. How was your weekend? Let me ask you that.
I'm trying to get myself centered on the picture. It was a great weekend. Last Monday, I went to a little town on the Mississippi River, Grafton, Illinois, on Memorial Day.
Yep.
Now, Illinois is one of the worst states for the lockdowns, by the way. Several thousand people there, enjoying themselves, going to restaurants, ice cream places, and so forth. I didn't see anybody wear a mask. Nobody anywhere wore a mask. No employees, none of the tourists, nothing.
It's against the law. That must be against the law. If to have fun and not wear a mask. Oh my goodness. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yesterday I went to two church services. I went to a little country Baptist church. Everybody sat next to each other, no masks. And then later in the day, I went to a Catholic mass, and they had a sign at the door, please wear a mask. And every other pew was taped off so you couldn't sit there. So there's a great dichotomy there. But, Doug, I want to start a conversation with – I wrote an article not quite a year ago, July the 9th, a two-page article. It's at my website at thelibertyman.com. It's called on the left side. It says, please download – and read immediately, John Moore's memorandum on the coming second American Civil War. Now, put my glasses on here so I can. I'm going to read the last paragraph, Doug, of this two-page document. I think you'll enjoy this.
All right.
Last paragraph. What the mainstream media will report as spontaneous riots will actually be pre-planned, orchestrated events. The goal of these events will be to create anger, animus, distrust, and envy to the point that it takes on a life of its own, becoming self-sustaining in the absence of paid professionals stirring the pot. Of course, our organized, trained, equipped, and well-funded enemies, MS-13, street gangs, jihadists, Spetsnaz, communist cadre, Soros-funded protesters, rioters, will be behind the scenes doing their dirty deeds. Now, I wrote that about 9 days after my wife passed on June 26, almost exactly a year ago, Doug, giving people a heads up, giving people a warning of what was coming at us. And during your introduction, you basically paralleled what I said a year ago, Doug, in my two-page article.
Now, just for people who are listening, John, if you can tell me, walk me through this. Where can I find this on your website? Folks, go to thelibertyman.com. I'm sorry for stuttering there, thelibertyman.com.
Scroll down the left side, scroll, more. Stop. When you see the map of the United States, red and blue, that's it, right there.
Right there, okay. Folks, there's where you go for the article. Read it. I'm telling you right now, read this important document.
Two pages.
It's a short read, and indeed, he nailed it. John nailed it on July 5th of 2019. And this is what we've been saying, too. The enemies, by the way, citing from that paper, the enemies of freedom in our constitutional republic know that President Trump will be reelected. Now, this is a year ago now. This president will destroy all of the socialist communist programs, laws, treaties, and so on. And you can read it, but there it is. And by the way, what did he say Sunday, yesterday? He said he's going to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. Well, boy, that creates some problems, doesn't it, John, for certain people here in America?
what will happen is Bill Barr and the FBI will have authority to arrest these people, and if they cross state lines in order to do their dirty deeds, they can be charged with federal crimes because they cross state lines. When the Ferguson events were happening, I had a number of friends there. I was doing live reports from Ferguson every day. Even the local news media was reporting the home cities and states of the people being arrested. Nobody from Ferguson, and maybe one or two people occasionally from the state of Missouri. They were from Illinois. They were from Michigan. They were from all over the country, but not from Missouri during the Ferguson riots. That's who was being arrested. The mass media is doing what we expected them to do. They're portraying these demonstrations as people being emotional, people being upset, and turning into violence because of these people being emotional and being upset. That's got nothing to do with people being emotional and being upset. These are pre-planned, orchestrated events. My friend Sam Andrews, my Monday guest, he was the commander of the Oath Keepers in Ferguson during the Ferguson riots. And he interviewed some of the rioters. And they were quite open to him, since he wasn't a cop. They said, well, we were trained how to fabricate incendiary devices. Now, these businesses in Ferguson were one-story buildings that had flat roofs. These flat roofs are asphalt, which is basically oil. And they were trained to fabricate incendiary devices to throw them on the roofs and start the fires. They also were glad to show their paycheck stubs from George Soros. Another group went to door-to-door, and a friend of mine interviewed a pair of these men mid-afternoon, sunny day. And they were, during the daytime, they would distribute the communist newspaper door-to-door in Ferguson. And in the evening, when it turned nightfall, then they would go back to their rioting activities. Nothing spontaneous. Nothing emotional about the people behind this. They're paid, equipped, and trained to do what they're doing, Doug. And they have not yet attacked infrastructure. But as I've said frequently on my show, you don't need firearms. You don't need explosives to bring down the infrastructure of any major city. That would be the power grid and telecommunications, of course, natural gas, the water system. All I need to do is go to any hardware store, hacksaws, hammers, come-alongs, all those kinds of common hardware store tools can bring down the infrastructure of any major city overnight. It doesn't take explosives, does not take firearms. All it takes is common hardware store construction tools to destroy the infrastructure of any major city overnight. That's all it takes. They have not done that yet. They have not done that yet.
Well,
this is not a secret.
It's on their agenda. Yeah, you're right. And the other thing, John, in addition to the infrastructure, this is what I got from my contacts within the local law enforcement as well as the state and federal law enforcement, is that communications are showing that these Antifa thugs, these anarchists, are looking to move their efforts into the suburbs now, going after the suburban businesses and the suburban conservatives, for lack of a better term. So infrastructure and suburbia next on the list of targets. This according to what I've got. So you're right on that.
Well, that's expected, Doug. And I know the suburbs of St. Louis. I know this because that was my home for most of my adult life. I know these suburbs. The men and women there are very well armed. There's a good percentage of veterans, a good percentage of retired police officers. And we're not talking inner city businesses. We're talking the suburbs where a lot of people know each other. And there's a lot of conservatives in these suburbs who will defend life and property with deadly force. These business owners know, and this is a heads up for all your listeners, Doug, insurance will not pay for damage to automobiles, trucks, homes, or businesses if that damage is a consequence of civil disorder. It's gone. But the mortgage doesn't go away. The car payments don't go away. The mortgage on the business doesn't go away. But the business itself goes away. Your home goes away. Your car is burned up and gone. And no insurance is going to pay for it. End of story.
Are we sure about that, John? I mean, how sure are you on this?
Check. No, I'm positive on this.
Okay. All right.
Doug, most life insurance policies will not pay. When I went back in the Army Reserve back in 79, I told my wife, I said, honey, I'll be sure I get life insurance. The only company I would find that would pay, if I died as a consequence of war was New York Life. And many policies will also not pay if death is a consequence of civil disorder. But I'm not aware of any in policy that will pay property insurance if there's damage as a consequence of civil disorder. I'm not aware of that policy existing from any company, Doug.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the exclusion from civil, civil uprisings. However, I'm not going
to
question.
You can take that to the bank.
Okay.
There may be one, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, I've got to take a look at my own policy, for the studio and for my house as well.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do that.
Quick thing to do is call your agent, but check your policy.
Yeah, I wonder if Lloyd's of London or something similar on an inland marine type of policy would offer coverage of that.
At some point now, I was a client who wanted me to check my insurance for their collection of gold and silver coins. The annual premium was half the value of the gold and silver coin.
Really?
So here, you can get insurance, but what's it worth? What's it going to cost you?
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure right now people, isn't that the case, though? Here we are talking about, insuring property in lives as a consequence of, to protect against losses from rioting and stuff that we're seeing on television, wait until the last moment. But folks, I would urge you to check it out, especially if you're in the areas where this could happen to your business
nearby.
Or home. Yeah.
Are nearby.
Yeah, exactly. So
now during the Ferguson riots, my mother-in-law, who she no longer lives there, but she moved out of town, but my mother-in-law's home had rioting activity, spillover rioting activity, a half mile east of her and a half mile west of her. So I was standing security duty for the family's assets, which I knew, and I told the family, I said, this place goes down, that's a major part of the family assets that's gone forever because there's not going to be any insurance. So I properly equipped myself to deal with any criminals that might want to cause harm to the property. And thank goodness nothing happened, but I was ready to deal with it very effectively.
Wow. Well, thankfully nothing happened. But you know, right now I think more is going to happen. I think we're only seeing
the beginning. Doug.
Yes,
but this is just getting started.
Exactly, and I don't think people realize that. They looked at last night and said, "Oh, well, things are calming down." Oh, but wait a minute, the organizers behind this, they're not going to allow this to calm down. By the way, the 5'4" Muppet head Patton Oswalt. I don't know whether you know him. He's He's a Hollywood. He's an actor.
Don't know.
Yeah, he's like a 5'4" Shia pet. I don't know, but he was comparing Antifa to the U.S. troops who fought on D-Day, which is just beyond the pale.
What?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Oh, come on.
This twit saying the violent leftist, you know, Antifa.
You're comparing them in a favorable manner, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. He's saying, well, they're like the D-Day, you know, heroes of D-Day.
I think he needs to get a life.
Yeah, he needs to
get a history lesson.
Yeah, give me something else.
Let's not get some more like that in the airtime.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway,
Doug, this is just getting started. I was telling the pastor of my church Friday night, we have movie night at the American Legion in Davisville. I was telling him, Pastor, we'll know by the end of this weekend if this thing's going to blow over or it's going to get far worse. Well, we now know. It's going to get far worse. And, of course, the cities and states controlled by Democrats, as words, will be the worst with design and with intent. And I fully expect the president to have to, and the word I got privately is that the president's already put active duty military on alert to respond to these places. And he needs to stop it. He needs to stop it as fast as possible. And if deadly force is necessary to protect the soldiers, then they should use deadly force to protect themselves. It's proper and legal to use deadly force to protect innocent human life. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. And so if you're standing in front of a store that they want to burn and loot and they're coming at you, you're protecting yourself. You're not protecting the store. You're protecting yourself. And I hope the president shuts this down as fast as possible, because this is the next move of the same people behind impeaching the president, wiretapping the president, and everything else. This goes all the way to the top, and Obama is part of it. He may not be publicly part of it, but I hope the NSA has intercepted enough communications to prove that point, and very likely they have by now, and that we have the appropriate authorities looking into this so they can connect all the dots all the way back to Hussein Obama and John Brennan and McCabe and all the rest of them. They're all connected, in my opinion. I don't have evidence of that, but we have plenty of evidence leading up to this, don't we, Doug?
Yeah, we do. And remember, you know what? People need to remember history, especially recent history with Obama. The beer summit. Remember that with the police officer, and remember how Obama came down against police officers in general. And then, of course, Eric Holder as attorney general, and look at Holder's ties to Antifa and Black Lives Matter. He's got ties to both organizations. But what you're saying is, and I totally agree with you on this, Obama is behind and involved in some of these activities to the extent that he's supporting the organizations that are putting people into and activists into the various cities. I think that that's really not a very far leap in logic.
It's not a stretch.
Right.
No, it's not a stretch. It's not a leap in logic at all, Doug. That is, in fact, what's going on. Everything's on the table.
Yes.
We had a president, a sitting president, who ordered the executive branch, the FBI, CIA, and Department of Justice to go after a presidential candidate, and when it became clear he would be the incoming president, to continue the illegal activities of going after this president. Now, if they would do that, why wouldn't they do anything else? What's to hold them back? Well, nothing. And that's, in fact, what's going on. And let's talk about our listeners out there. We have listeners all over the United States, all over the world.
Yes.
And I'm encouraging people. I give a proper tip of the day. And I want to encourage everybody, if you live in an urban, suburban area, to have an evacuation plan. The next step, I'm convinced, following more widespread rioting and more widespread looting, will be for the enemy to attack the power grid. It's simple. It's easy to do. As I said a moment ago, they don't need explosives. They don't need weapons. Common hardware store items that are on every construction job site in the country, every hardware store in the country. These power grid substations, for example, they have a chain link fence. That's it. That's all they've got. The water treatment plants, typically at night, there's maybe one sleepy security guard there and a chain link fence. That's all they've got. Telecommunications, the same way. A good sharp axe can take care of the cables. You don't need sophisticated tools. You don't need explosives. You don't need guns. And this is no secret. This is not a secret. Anybody involved in construction knows what I'm talking about. Anybody involved in telecommunications knows what I'm talking about. Anybody who's involved with the power grid knows what I'm talking about. And I fully expect if they're serious about bringing down this country, that's what they'll do. They'll attack the grid. They'll attack the water system. They'll attack telecommunications. The downside is nobody will know what they're doing because once the power's down, the internet's down. So they want to have, and they may just keep it up just so they can keep the attention on what they're doing because the TVs and the internet works, Doug. That may be our saving grace.
You know, I can see that because I see a lot of, anecdotally anyway, I see a lot of planning through social networks, but a lot of communications through social networks. So I think that there is a reliance on communications, whether it's internet-based or cell-based. Either way, it would be kind of it'd be problematic for them to take down the, we'll say the electric and or the cell service or whatever.
Problems for themselves. Yeah. What we saw in Ferguson, Doug, was at night when the TV, when the lights from the TV cameras came on, the rioters went from standing around talking to protesting.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just standing around talking, shooting the breeze, talking about the weather. And when the TV camera lights came on, then they started protesting.
Yeah.
If there's no audience, if nobody knows what you're doing, what's the point of doing it?
Well, true. Why do you think, John, why do you think that President Trump has not been more vocal lately? In other words, I haven't heard him come out and say, you know what, or at least appeal for unity, you know, as previous presidents have. He hasn't really said much or hasn't called he's not addressed the nation since this started. Do you think that he should? I mean, I'm just curious as to what you think. If you were in that position, what would you do?
Okay. If I knew that the protests were led by people who were genuinely concerned and were emotionally upset of what happened to this innocent man, Mr. Floyd, up there in Minneapolis, then yes, I would appeal for unity and calm and peace. If, however, I knew that there was people orchestrating these protests in 140 cities that are not emotional, they could give a damn about Mr. Floyd, that they have a different goal. Their goal is to disrupt civil society and to bring down civil society. There's no appeal to peace and calm and coming together that will work on those individuals. I can't predict what President Trump's going to do. I wouldn't pretend to do that. He may attempt to do both, which may be a smart move. Appeal for calm and peace and unity on one hand, while he turns the FBI loose on Antifa and Black Lives Matter on the other. That may be a good choice there for him. I don't know what the man's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I found it very interesting, his position. I know that he broke his silence this morning by saying, by slamming, Joe Biden's staff for working to get the anarchists out of jail, which I thought was appropriate. But I was just curious about his lack of any address to the nation, which, and I understand what you just said there.
When the time's right.
When the time is right.
Timing is something present. President Trump is very good at timing, regardless of what he does. Let's go back to what's going on, though. If I was in a protest riot situation and I was on a building with a pair of binoculars, I could pick out the leaders. I could pick them out. They're going to be giving directions. They're going to be using either verbally with hand signals or verbally or using radios or using cell phones to give directions to people. I would pick out the leaders and have the SWAT team rush in just like an offensive football line with a bunch of 250-pound men and push through the crowd and pick that guy out or gal and arrest them. Mainly because I want their cell phone. Because that cell phone is going to have connections, and once you get that cell phone, you can make the connections of who goes to who. There's not going to be more than three levels of command and control above that person in the street giving those directions and acting in a leadership position, going back probably to George Soros or to Hussein Obama or both.
You know, I agree with you on that, and I believe, in fact, that both are involved, as is Valerie Jarrett. By the way, Valerie Jarrett had said a few things. This was not covered by any of the media, along with Keith Ellison, who he's been outspoken. Van Jones, of course, we know about him. He's been yipping his gums lately. But Valerie Jarrett said that she accused President Trump of fueling anger by defending white supremacists, which he did no such thing, but she came out last week and said that. Right.
During the Obama administration, Valerie Jarrett was actually the executive running the country.
Yes.
You can't play golf. I mean, if Hussein Obama was CEO of a Fortune 100 company, he would have been fired because he was AWOL. You can't run a country and be gone all the time playing golf. Valerie Jarrett was running the country. And she has an office right now in the Obama mansion, which is, 10 blocks from the White House. And she's still doing whatever she does. She's a communist Muslim, a very bright woman. There's no high IQ, obviously. But she's an enemy of the state, as far as I'm concerned. And she's continuing in her role to be enemy of the state and organizing behind the scenes. And I think the connections are going to go directly to her office. Doug, I really do believe that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on this. I agree with you 100%. Going back to your paper from July 5th of 2019, your column, your memorandum, the subject, by the way, is FTX, Tet Offensive.
FTX stands for Field Training Exercise. Tet Offensive is my use of a term, the Tet Offensive during the Vietnam War. And I had to call it something. And the job of somebody, my job in military intelligence was to find out about things before they happen. And that's how I was trained as an intelligence analyst before I became an investigator, to find out what's going to happen before it happens. And that, the purpose of this paper was to give people a heads up. And I gave them a heads up almost exactly 11 months ago today. In 4 days, it'll be exactly 11 months. So people had a heads up. And I made sure they had a heads up. Of course, hardly anybody paid heed, but those that did pay heed, they had a heads up almost a year in advance.
Yeah, and thank you for writing this. And we're thinking along the same lines. And as from what we saw this past weekend, I would say to people who are listening and watching this, be very pay attention to this. In fact, go ahead and download this. Go to thelibertyman.com. On the left, you'll see that red and blue map of the United States. Click on that link there. It'll take you to this article and download this. But you had said in here prior to November of 2020 to set the stage, our enemies may commence their plan B, that is civil war. And what would it look like? Of course, it would be minorities against majorities. And we're seeing that. It would be urban against rural. We're hearing about that. And that, I believe, is next to come. Coalitions of Muslims and other minorities against the majority. Potential assassination of elected officials, police chiefs, sheriffs, fire chiefs, paramedic chiefs, top military officers. I can see that. So we have to keep our eyes out for this. Very, very
interesting. Well, Doug, I began interacting with law enforcement officials in 1973 when the state of Missouri hired me to be a homicide detective. I've been on a first-name basis with hundreds of law enforcement officers, many chiefs of police, many sheriffs, many federal law enforcement, and they're very aware of the dangers of what could happen in the cities coming out to their communities that are 30, 40, 50, 100 miles away from the cities. They will protect their community. They will protect the communities. The community I'm living in, it's kind of like a big high school. I mean, everybody knows everybody. They'll take care of these sheriffs out here and these chiefs of police. They will do whatever it takes to protect their community. And these sheriffs, these elected sheriffs, not appointed sheriffs, but these elected sheriffs, by statute and by tradition, they're the commander of the county militia. If they have to activate the county militia to protect the county, they will do so. They'll do it in a heartbeat if that's what it takes to protect the community. And the sheriffs all know who the good guys are. They know the veterans. They know the veterans organizations. And they can put together a militia in 24 hours and have it ready to go. They may not be the best equipped. They may not be the best armed. But they will be armed. And they will be trained, and they will have a command and control going directly to the sheriff with proper communications, proper chain of command, and a mission statement to protect lives and property. If it comes down to it, that's what will happen in more than 3,000 counties around the United States. So you can count on it.
Interesting. So where we stand today, Monday, June 1st, 2020, by the way, how quickly did the pandemic, news about the pandemic, social distancing, how quickly did that fly off the...
It all evaporated.
Yeah.
We have a few doctors anguishing over the protesters being too close to each other. That's kind of a minor side note at this point, a very minor side note.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that. But anyway...
Before I move on...
Go ahead.
With the Chinese flu, as I call it, if you're a healthy adult, it's just the flu. However, it's incredibly contagious, much more so than normal flu. My belief, Tug, is that everybody in this country, unless they're in some kind of highly isolated area, has been exposed to the Chinese flu at this point. The social distancing from some 14-year-old girl who originated it, it's silliness. It serves no purpose. Every human being in this country, with very few exceptions, has been exposed to the Chinese flu at this point. What's the point of wearing masks and staying 6 feet apart? It serves no purpose at all. Of course you've been exposed to it, and it's foolish to think otherwise.
Isn't it interesting how we had the same or similar situations happen, 10 years ago? With the bird flu, and then before that, the swine flu. I remember back in the late 60s, I believe it was. Was it the swine flu back then or Hong Kong flu? I don't know.
The swine flu with the vaccine that killed and hurt. I know people whose lives are still never been the same. They took the swine flu vaccine. I think it was 74, I believe, 73 or 74. My first wife was a registered nurse. I was thinking about getting it. And she says, honey, you really don't want to do that. And I said, okay, I won't. And I'm so glad I didn't. Because it killed a lot of people and damaged and injured people who now we are almost half a century later. And they've never been the same since. They've had very disrupted lives because they accepted this vaccine. The information I'm getting, Doug, is there will be a vaccine possibly as soon as September. Vaccines have an exception that no other medication has. They don't have to do a double-blind study to test for either effectiveness or safety, either one. They give all vaccines that exemption.
That's right.
Very dangerous, very dangerous. And anybody who will sign up for that vaccine is an absolute fool, in my opinion.
I can't even understand how they would, how you could convince a person to take a vaccine knowing that it's kind of Russian roulette with respect to the strain, right? I mean, you can't even – just the normal flu, the different strains, they're not even sure which strain to give you. It's based on previous historical data. I mean, it's, I don't know. It seems like a bad idea to me.
People will be clamoring for this vaccine, Doug. Mm. They'll be offering bribes to people that can give the vaccine to be in line first. You can count on it. That's what will happen. We have a very dumbed down public, a public that's almost 50% illiterate, a public that, you know, I like to point out there was a TV show, Marcus Welby, MD, Robert Young played a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
The actor pretending to be a doctor got 200 to 300 letters a week asking for medical advice.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from the people who are illiterate. I mean, seriously.
I'm sorry. You know, yeah.
You know, so yes, there will be a clamor. There will be demand for the vaccines. What, put me first. No, here's $100. Put me in line first. That's what will happen, Doug.
Will the vaccine in your, I don't know even how to go there, if we should go there, but in your estimation, is this vaccine more of a weapon than innocuous? I don't even know how to phrase the question, but when you look at it, are they weaponizing this against us, or are they just...
Well, research I've done on the vaccine tells me that none of them are what they pretend to be.
Right.
None of them. Something that we have at my website, three different speeches by Bill Gates, interviews and speeches with Bill Gates. This man is evil in a pair of shoes, in my opinion. If he was to go to India or some countries in Africa, he'd probably be arrested the moment his foot touched their soil, getting off the airplane. It was the lives he's taken and the lives he's destroyed. This vaccine, no matter if they intend for it to be good or not, it's probably going to hurt a lot of people and kill a lot of people. If they intend for it to be bad, which there's certainly a possibility, you can hear Bill Gates in a TED Talk on my website.
Yes.
Saying that he wants to reduce the world's population by using vaccines. Now, there's only three ways that can happen. You either make the men sterile, you make the women sterile, or you just murder people. There's no fourth way to reduce the world's population with vaccines that I'm aware of. Is there a fourth way?
No, I think you covered it.
Right. Well, this guy wants to make a vaccine for everybody on the planet for the Chinese flu. Excuse me, something's really broken here. I wouldn't trust this guy any farther I could throw him.
Yeah, I've got a real big problem with Gates, as I do with Fauci and Burks. I'm sorry, not Bricks, but I'm thinking of Bricks. Burks.
Scarflight.
Exactly. I got a problem with all them. By the way, speaking of Bricks, which I'll just talk to you about Bricks, pallets of Bricks being piled in various cities, ready to be used by these, by these little anarchists running around. Isn't that interesting? They show up, pallets appear in Dallas, in Manhattan, and then Fayetteville. Where'd they come from?
Fayetteville, which Fayetteville?
I don't know. Let me look.
Okay. There's a lot of Fayetteville.
I know. Fayetteville.
Well, I lived in one in Fayetteville, North Carolina, but I think there's a lot of Fayettevilles around the country.
Actually, this appeared on Twitter. Let me look here. Fayetteville. Let's see here. Manhattan, obviously, I mentioned that on Twitter. Dallas, I mentioned that. And Fayetteville, doesn't say where in Fayetteville, or which Fayetteville. North Carolina, I'm sorry. North Carolina.
Okay, that would be a pretty stupid thing. The home of the Green Berets, you're going to have protesters. The home of the 82nd Airborne, you're going to have protesters.
Yeah.
Not very smart. These guys live off base with their families. You don't. That's one community you really don't want to mess around with. Plus, not far from there are the Mounted Yard tribesmen that the Green Berets helped bring back from Vietnam and Thailand, and not Thailand but Laos. These are the men who fought the communists with crossbows. You really don't want to mess with these people. You really
crossbows.
Don't. They know it. Oh yeah. Homemade crossbows.
Yikes.
In fact, there was a Walter Cronkite news broadcast back in the mid-60s where we were equipping the Mounted Yards with factory-made crossbows as a way to improve their resistance to the communists. But the Mounted Yard tribesmen and their descendants, You talk about people who are anti-communist. It's in their DNA to be anti-communist. And there may be an hour drive from Fayetteville up in the mountains of North Carolina. You really don't want to mess with these people, Doug. You really, sincerely don't. That will be a non-starter to mess around in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Well, and again, I'm looking on, I'm not sure, nationalfile.com is where all of these video, Twitter entries are, where I'm looking at them at. And that's nationalfile.com. But, so many of these Twitter videos showing pallets of bricks, as I mentioned, the three areas.
Well, Anita,
go ahead.
I need a 2-ton flatbed truck and a forklift to move pallets of bricks.
Right.
That's a level of organization and logistics that spontaneous protesters simply don't have. That's how it's done. You drive up the 2-ton or 5-ton flatbed truck with a forklift on the back. You unload the forklift. You use the forklift to unload the pallet of bricks. You set it down, and then you reload your forklift and you drive away. That's how it's done.
And you know, yeah, exactly. It's interesting, the comments. I was just kind of looking at the comments on this. It's interesting to see a couple of things. Number one, how social media is responding to these tweets and the information contained in related tweets and responses. Well, you know, it's due to construction. It's fake news. Well, wait a second. No, there's no construction near these areas, and no, it's not fake news. And then in conjunction with that, Twitter, for example, Facebook, the looting, promotion of looting goes unbanned on Facebook, unbanned on Twitter, absolutely no bans whatsoever. So, I don't know. Explain this to me, John. What the heck? And are we, I guess I don't need that explained to me. I guess I need to know, what are we to do at this point? Because you got the media against us. You've got social media, Twitter and Facebook, that is, promoting anarchy and anarchists. You've got the presidential candidate, Joe Biden, and his staff, as well as Bernie Sanders. Remember what Bernie Sanders said? Hey, Bernie doesn't get the nomination, we're going to burn this country to the ground, basically.
Right.
I don't know. I'm at this point.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the extent of the authority of the president with these insurrection laws. But if an entity, whether it's a person or a something like Twitter or anything else, is promoting or encouraging insurrection, they could probably be arrested under these insurrection laws. That would be my expectation, not having looked into it.
Well, see, I just want to interrupt you real quick, because please. I'm very familiar with this. In fact, being a defendant in a $10 million lawsuit, I'm very, very, very familiar with Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. So what is happening is, if you are not a content creator, the creator of a content, like, for example, you're a creator of content through your show, so am I, through my show. The platform, for example, whether it be YouTube, or in this case about social media, Facebook, Twitter and stuff, they're not content creators. So they have immunity from the content by way of Section 230 of the CDA. All right, so that's kind of where we're at with this, except when they start meddling around and saying, "Okay, we're going to promote this, but we're going to ban this." Then they become content creators. I don't know if I explained that well. And then they fall under the more strict guidelines and more strict laws for content creators. Did I say that right? Did you get
that? Well, I believe you did, Doug. I believe the president issued an executive order basically implementing what you just stated. And whatever it takes, these order must be maintained. If people attack security officers or police or even private citizens our National Guard and deadly force is certainly called for to defend their lives. And there's nothing that says a police officer, a National Guardsman, a security officer, a store owner has to give up their life when they're being attacked. You know, they have every right to use deadly force against deadly force. If somebody's throwing a brick at you, they're trying to kill you. A clenched fist of a healthy adult male can kill you with one blow. I've worked homicides where one hit from one fist killed a man. And so any use of deadly force can be met and countered with deadly force in all 50 states, and should be. Nobody should have to give up their life at all. Everybody has a natural right and a legal right to defend their life against deadly force. And that's what needs to happen. We need to have these businesses protected by National Guard, active duty Army, whatever it takes to protect these businesses, to protect society, to protect our communities. I saw a photograph this morning of a black bar owner, I believe, in Minneapolis. He was just crying because his business, his life, was absolutely destroyed. It's gone, and it won't come back because there's no insurance to cover what happened. The bills he owes for that business, that bar, the bills have not gone away. I don't know if he owned the building or not, but it's gone. All the in contents and the inventory are gone, wiped out. And the odds of this man having the financial ability to start over without insurance is almost non-existent.
Yeah, it amazes me. I shouldn't say it amazes me, but I note that Al Sharpton and Van Jones, but specifically Al Sharpton, is admonishing the rioters not to destroy black businesses. We're up against the top of the hour network break here shortly.
That's racism on the face of it.
Exactly. And I heard him, sadly, I didn't realize that he had an hour-long show on Sundays. But
so what if it's an interracial couple that owns a business, one white and one black, only destroy half the business?
Yeah, just the front half and back half.
That's the same logic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's the same logic.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously the left, they talk about divisiveness, in how President Trump is divisive, but no, it's the Al Sharptons, it's the Cuomos, it's the, people on the left who are divisive to an unbelievable extent. We're up against the top of the hour break. John Moore is my guest every Monday. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. That's TheLibertyMan.com. Go there. And, of course, we're talking about a paper that he wrote July 5th of last year. It's available there on the left side. Scroll down. You'll see a map of the United States, red and blue. And open that link and read that paper. It's very important. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. HagmanReportLive.com is where you're going to find all the links to that we talk about in the broadcast, and of course, audio, video assets as well. That's HagmanReportLive.com. We're right back. Stay right where we're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
What a difference a week makes, right? Remember last week? Hey, what a difference just a few days makes in terms of the headlines, what we're focusing on and what is important. John Moore, of course, Monday June 1st, 2020, talking about the events of the last really 4 days, especially the last couple of days with respect to the looting, the riots. These are not protesters. These are riots. And some things to keep your eyes on. John Moore of thelibertyman.com. That's his website. By the way, go to thelibertyman.com and scroll down on the left and get the article that we were talking about the first hour, as well as you can see right on his website, there is a link to his radio show. Listen to his radio show and support John through listening and support his sponsors and his, just support him. I mean, I got to tell you, he's a legend out there, and that's John Moore. Before I get back to John, I just want to mention this. I want to ask you a question. Are you right now, are you tired of paying, and I got to ask you this, are you tired of credit card bills with high interest rates? I get tired of paying high interest rates. Man, I'm telling you, usury, it's almost like usury in some cases. Are you ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? I think we all are, and especially in today's economy. Here's the deal. I'm going to send you right now to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream and you can save thousands of dollars in interest. You can get rated as low as 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. I say it's kind of like the Carter years with the credit card rate. It's just incredible. This is a fixed rate, by the way, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan, and there are absolutely no fees. The application is quick and easy, 100% online. Here's what you need to do. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is lightstream.com/Hagman. Let me spell it out for you. LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on the Hagman. By the way, it got a testimonial right here in my hand. If I didn't have it, I couldn't do this with it, right? Heard a commercial, checked into a consolidation loan, and just a few hours later had my approval and funds ready to be transferred. Awesome. There it is. Go to lightstream.com/Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And one more thing before we get back to John. Wisconsin Christian News. You got to catch the latest edition of Wisconsin Christian News. I've got an article in there. But folks, go to wisconsinchristiannews.com and subscribe. Subscribe to the digital and paper version. My favorite's the paper version. I love to hold this in my hand, wisconsinchristiannews.com. By the way, if you go to the website, look, the cost of this is, it barely covers the printing and the shipping, the cost. I'm telling you, do me a favor. Click on donate. Donate. Donate to the ministry of Wisconsin Christian News. That's wisconsinchristiannews.com. Appreciate it if you do that. All right. John Moore, the Liberty Man. John, where do you want to go this hour? What topics?
Well, it's pretty funny how the last 3 months we've been consumed with the Chinese flu, and now it's just gone. It's just gone. Americans tend to be optimistic, Doug. They tend to have hope. In general, as most Americans, most of the time, most Americans right now don't realize that we're at the beginning of what's going to go on for weeks, if not months, of civil disorder. That it's going to cost many lives. Has already cost millions of dollars in damage, which will turn into billions of dollars in damage before this is over. In my two-page article that I wrote, FTX, Tet Offensive, it's our opposition, which you've heard me say before, the socialists, communists, Muslims, Democrats, they're desperate. And they will do whatever they need to do. They'll destroy whatever needs to be destroyed. They'll murder whoever needs to be murdered because they know that 4 more years, at this point, it would be almost exactly 4.5 more years of Donald Trump, will end what they want to do for at least one, possibly two generations. If nothing more than because of his appointments of conservative men and women in federal judge situations, both federal courts and the United States Supreme Court. He will appoint at least one, possibly two more Supreme Court justices. Justice Thomas is probably strongly considering retiring so he can make sure that President Trump appoints his replacement. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a very sick woman, very sick. It's amazing. She's also very tough to have gone through things she's gone through and still be even be alive, let alone be able to perform her duties. But she can't last another 4.5 years. That's not going to happen.
John, I gotta tell you, I just want to say this. Somebody should put a mirror under her nose. I want proof of life. I really do. I mean, but that's just me. But go on.
Well, she's a tough lady.
Yeah.
And she's very bright, and her brain doesn't work the way I would like to see it work. But that's just simply the way it is. That's a minimum of two more appointments. Chief Justice Roberts has probably been compromised. There's lots of rumors as to how and why he's been compromised. He was allegedly a conservative, top guy at the Supreme Court needs to be appointed as well, a Chief Justice. And that's very likely also that there will be a new Chief Justice if President Trump gets another 4.5 years. The opposition, yeah. There are enemies. They know this. They know they're done. President Trump has been dismantling everything done by two Bushes, one Clinton, and one Obama. It's not just Obama. Many of the things very damaging to our military, for example, began under the first Bush, George W. Bush. And there's clear evidence of that. That executive orders, for example, he put the Strategic Air Command on stand down right before he left office. That's what George Bush did. Another thing George W. Bush did before he left office, which was implemented by Clinton, he ordered the Navy to take the launch codes away from the submarine commanders of the Polaris missiles, which was an executive order issued by George W. Bush and implemented by Bill Clinton. So there's lots of makeup work to do to bring our military back up to strength, bring our country back up to strength. And the people behind Obama, which is the communist Chinese, they know this. They're very great students when it comes to understanding war and warfare. The principles of General Sun Tzu, a book titled The Art of War, older than a Christian Bible. They live by these words. And as we stand right here, Doug, on the first day of June 2020, our military will never be any weaker. Tomorrow, June the 2nd, it will be stronger. The day after that, June 3rd, because every day the president is doing something, and the Department of Defense is doing something. For example, ordering F-15s. They haven't ordered new F-15s. A friend of mine, in fact, I probably know a half dozen people that work on F-15s at McDonnell at Boeing. The Department of Defense hasn't bought new F-15s for more than 20 years. But there's a great thing about the F-15s that the F-35s can't do. The F-15s can actually fly in the rain. Or F-35s can't. How humiliating.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, look it up.
Wow. What do you mean they can't fly in the rain? Are you serious?
It's pretty simple English, Doug. I can't make it any simpler.
Okay. I'm.
How humiliating. And the performance difference, our Air Force generals have prohibited our Air Force from doing upgrades to the F-15s for 20 years. The upgrades the Israelis get, the upgrades the South Koreans get of the F-15 make the performance difference between the F-35 and the F-15 almost non-existent. That's right from the engineers at Boeing who work on these things.
Almost non-existent. My word.
And the F-35 is the most expensive fighter aircraft in the history of mankind that we're aware of. It is.
Lockheed Martin, F-35 Lightning II, right? Just so I'm clear.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I got to look at this. So number built as of March of this year, 520. First flight, December 15th of 06. All right. Single seat, single engine. Wait a minute.
Put this in your search engine, F-35 and word rain, and see what comes up.
Okay. Well, because it's being touted as an all-weather stealth multi-role combat aircraft, but apparently not in the rain, right?
Exactly. Well, the F-16 has similar problems, by the way. They were sending up F-16s to escort some planes into Japan. They had to turn around because of rain. But regardless, that's kind of a side issue.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I took you on that.
Get back to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is President Trump.
Yes.
And the New World Order, which is the communists, by the way. The New World Order cannot tolerate President Trump being president for 4.5 more years. They can't. We are the prize. They talk about China invading Taiwan, aircraft carriers going after Taiwan. Taiwan's 70 miles from the mainland. What do you need aircraft carriers to attack Taiwan for? That's silliness. When you're going 500 miles an hour, how long does it take you to cross 70 miles? A couple of minutes?
I can do the math on that, but I won't. Yeah, it certainly wouldn't take long.
2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah.
2 or 3 minutes at the most? Yeah. So no, you don't need, and they're not aircraft carriers. They're aircraft carrier task forces, which is, you're looking at 12 to 14 ships plus submarines and so forth. These are task forces, right, not just standalone ships. No, that's absurd. You don't need aircraft carriers to attack somebody who's 70 miles away. You need aircraft carrier task forces to project your military other places. It may be the Philippines. Philippines are scared to death. Maybe New Zealand. Maybe Australia. Why not San Francisco? Why not?
So, so China is acting up, you're telling me. But not necessarily in the way we've been hearing, but China is acting up.
We're in war with China right now, Doug.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
We're at war with China right now.
Yeah.
It's just not obvious.
Well,
you know,
Did it start with
the United States went to war in December 8th? War was declared in 1941. The world had been at war since 1939.
Agreed.
So we're at war right now with China. It's called asymmetric warfare.
Right.
Right now it's biological warfare, economic warfare, a trade warfare, a war of words, to put it one way. But we are, in fact, at war, and behind the scenes, the word I'm getting from my private sources is the president is doing what he can right now to prepare to defend the war, the United States against China. That's happening right now. It's pretty common knowledge in the alternative media, Doug, that 1 million men and women have been activated from the National Guard, the Army Reserve, and something that's never been done before, the Individual Ready Reserve, the IRR. That's never happened before, Doug.
No, I've heard that.
Maybe if you're a surgeon or could speak Arabic, you may be activated from the IRR. But otherwise, no mass mobilization in the IRR ever that we're aware of.
And for those people who are unfamiliar with this activation order, is this intended, John, to protect the U.S. mainland, or is this?
Well, that's my belief, publicly stated reason, if there is any at all, is because of the Chinese flu. You don't need a million men and women to deal with the Chinese flu. You don't. But to deal with being at war, of course you do.
Okay.
If it gets bad enough, they'll reactivate the draft. And women will be drafted, by the way, if they do that. And it'll probably be a draft all the way up to maybe age 35 or 40, because there's only about 10% of the people that age who are eligible to serve because of obesity, health problems, substance abuse problems, criminal records, and a number of other things, low IQ and so.
Have you heard about the having COVID-19 or the Chinese Communist Party virus as being a disqualifying factor for the military? Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard that, but once you've had it, I don't believe you can get it again. I don't know why that would be disqualifying.
Yeah, I don't know. I have not been able to verify that through any reliable source. I just heard that. And when I went to search for some information about that, I couldn't find anything.
Well, your local recruiter would be a quick way to answer that.
I put a call into a recruiting office. And I'll just say this. I was referred to I was referred to someone else, another number, and I just never followed up on it. But
right.
I was just curious. All right. All right. Well, that's, yeah. So, I mean, here we are at the precipice. June 1st, the last time we spoke, we really didn't, we had no, our focus was not on this, where we are today with respect to the riots.
It's 2 weeks ago today that we talked last, Doug.
Right. And certainly we,
you know, we had a holiday off, and that's great. I'm grateful for that. When I wrote my paper 11 months ago, I knew what was coming. I didn't know exactly when, but the timing is perfect for these kinds of events. When you want riding the streets, you want hot weather because that always makes things worse. Hot weather always makes these things worse. We have an election in, 155 days, something like that, 154 days?
Something like that, yeah.
The timing is perfect to do what they want to do. The president has to stomp this down. He has to stomp it down hard. He has to stomp it down fast. It cannot be tolerated for very much longer. Our country is in dire straits when it comes to the economy. The president needs to stop this and stop it fast. Arrest everybody that needs to be arrested. Put them into custody and charge them with federal crimes. Majority of them will be crossing state lines and using communications across state lines, conspiring, and get this behind us so our economy can start recovering. 40 million people out of work is no laughing matter, Doug. It's extremely serious. Extremely.
Well, exactly. And to toss this into the mix right now, obviously, I think this is shades of Cloward Piven written all over it for various reasons or variations thereof. But you write in your paper, and I just kind of want to touch on this because it's something that if you read it, you might just pass over it. Okay, you write this intelligence summary in this section. Private trusted sources are stating that commencing after November 2020 election, a civil war will begin in the U.S. Now, let me ask you this. If what we're seeing right now is designed to keep President Trump out of office, how much worse can it get now? But let's just say that President Trump does get reelected, and I really believe he will. Then you're saying, okay,
all hell's
going to break loose. So all hell is breaking loose to prevent him from being reelected in many respects. And if he does get reelected, then, it's just going to get much worse is what you're saying.
Right. Right now, what's happening is limited in scope, limited to mostly downtown areas of cities. As bad as it is, it's still limited. As bad as it is, they have not yet attacked the power grid. They have not yet attacked telecommunications. When I say all hells are going to break loose, when the president's reelected, and I believe he will be, when the president's reelected, they've got nothing left to lose. That's when the real civil war, we're kind of at a loss of words as how to describe it. We're calling it civil war because we're not sure what else to call it. Open rebellion, insurrection, civil war, these terms are kind of interchangeable. They've got nothing left to lose. Once the polls close, first Tuesday in November, just what is it, 5 months? All hell will break loose because they've got nothing left to lose. And they need to bring down the president and bring down this country. And the invasion will be what they want to do, Doug, our enemies want. They want Americans to expend their ammunition on each other.
Our enemies, that's true. Yeah.
Our enemies are very well aware of how well-armed Americans are. Now, my neighborhood, every man has a rifle. Every man owns a rifle, and many women on one hand. On the other, typically they have a box or a box and a half, a box of ammunition for the centerfire rifles, 20 rounds. Typically have one full box and part of a second one. That's pretty much the way it is in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks where I live.
Right.
There's exceptions. I know men, quite a few men, by the way, who are buying ammunition by the case lots these days and have been for months because they know what's coming. But the average guy or gal out in my neighborhood, they got maybe 30 or 40 rounds. That's typically about it. And in the cities, it's not much different. a man or woman may have a pistol, they may have one box with 50 rounds, they may have a rifle with maybe 20 or 40 rounds, and that's typically about it. So it wouldn't take a whole lot to expend that ammunition.
No, that's about 15 minutes at the range, if that.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, Eric and I talk all the time. You know, you don't have ammunition until you've got 10,000 rounds as a start. You know, at least that's my view. But so, the things that we can do to prepare, too. And I don't want as well, I mean, boy, I'll tell you, people could leave after this show really bummed out. And obviously, there's a lot to be,
Here's what I saw happen in Ferguson, Doug. The reports I was getting, I had two family men that lived there. Their family homes were there. Then we had Command Sergeant Major Page up there on the scene and my friend Sam Andrews on the scene. The men who lived there with their families, this will happen again, by the way, they evacuated their families while they stayed at the family home to protect the family asset. That's what they did. And within reason, that's the right thing to do. My one friend up there, he former Marine, he collects World War I vintage Mauser bolt-action rifles. He has a collection of maybe 12 or 15 of these, and he distributed 8 or 10 of them to his nearby neighbors and gave these men a minimal amount of training so they could stand watch and protect the neighborhood in Ferguson while the riots were going on. And I expect the same thing will happen again, where families will be evacuated, the fathers will stay behind to protect the family asset, that being the real estate, the home. I expect that, and it may already be happening in some places. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Same thing with these businesses. Please recall the L.A. riots, where the Korean businessmen successfully fought back the rioters. And that will take place again also, and probably already is taking place in different parts of the country, Doug. So I expect to see a repeat of many of these things around the country, don't you?
Yes, but here I got a question for you. When I was watching the footage, and I confessed to Eric when he came in today, I said, "Man, I was watching this for hours. Four hours I was watching the. I was going back between MSNBC and Fox because I wanted to, I just wanted to see what each one was saying. And boy, I'll tell you, two different planets. But that aside, and I really wasn't thrilled with either one. But here's a question I've got for you, John. When I was looking at both Fox and MSNBC, the Foot Locker store, the Nike and the sports apparel. Where was it? Santa Monica, I think it was. The looters and rioters broke into this store, and the cops were a block away and didn't do anything. There was something that happened. I think it was in Manhattan, maybe Minneapolis. I'm not sure. A store got looted, and then there was a Sun Drugs that got looted. And the police just let this happen. What is tell me why. Tell me why the police didn't get involved in this.
Well, the police departments, just like fire departments and paramedics, are paramilitary organizations with a chain of command. And the chain of command told these men to stand down, obviously. That's what happened. Why that happened, I can't tell you. But I can tell you how it happened. And that was they were given orders to stand down and not intervene. It would be interesting to see if the leadership of those communities, they have Democratic leadership, they have Democratic governors. That would be a strong evidence as to the motivation to have the officers stand down. That motivation would be to make it as bad as it could become.
All right. Well, that's, to me, and I'll say this as well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the most damage and the epicenters of what we saw are democratically controlled areas, Minneapolis. I mean, my goodness, even my own hometown. And I happen to know the mayor of my hometown, but that aside, for the police to stand down and allow this to happen, what would happen to John if not, I'm going to throw a hypothetical out here to you. The Sun Drugs or the store that I saw getting looted, if the owner of that store was in there with an AR-15 with enough ammunition to take care of things, what would happen, do you think? Would the looters continue to come in? And if he fired on them, would he get in trouble? I'm just curious as to, would this have made a difference, do you think?
Well, obviously it would have, and this is obvious to me it would have. I should mention that less than 48 hours ago, a gun store in metropolitan St. Louis was attacked by 10 black males in 3 vehicles. There was return fire inside the store, and they escaped with, I believe, 2 long rifles and 31 handguns. And were being, and the police, of course, were looking for them. They got an alert out for all the metropolitan St. Louis police departments. The employee, owner, security officer would be defending his own life, not defending Nike shoes. People are breaking through into the premises with bricks and 2x4s or baseball bats. You can make no other assumption other than that they're trying to kill you. It would be illogical and inappropriate to assume anything else other than these people want to hurt me. They want to kill me. And, of course, you have a right in all 50 states to defend your innocent life against deadly force. Smart thing would be for the defender, the innocent person, to not give a statement to the police until the lawyer is present physically in the room, no matter what went down. That would be the smart thing to do, because if you don't know the language to use, don't understand the law, you can end up saying the wrong thing, and it have very serious consequences.
Anymore, and I agree with you 100%, anymore, I cannot stress that enough, dealing with police or just seeing things. I apologize for being distracted there. I saw something on the monitor that I just didn't quite know what it was. Seeing ghosts. But I think it's important for people right now, at least I believe this, in preparation of what's to come, know what to do if you are in that position and you are armed and you are taking care of your home, you're protecting yourself, your family. And if you happen to display your weapon.
Well, most states have a stand your ground statute, which many people don't understand. It was the prosecutors in the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin improperly used stand your ground. It was not necessary. Trayvon Martin was a former football player who had Zimmerman on the concrete on top of him, beating his head against the concrete. Stand your ground did not apply. Of course, Zimmerman had a right to self-defense. Stand your ground statutes basically say you don't need to retreat. There's no requirement to retreat. So a person's in a store, a storefront, a building that they have authority to be in, a home, any kind of structure of that kind, and there's a stand your ground statute, you're not compelled to attempt to retreat. That's not a requirement. In many states, it used to be, and of course, if there's a stand your ground statute, it's no longer a requirement that you make an effort to retreat from the violence coming at you.
Okay.
That's all it means. That's all stand your ground means.
All right. But I think it would be good for people to really get well versed in knowing.
Well, if
what
they take a concealed carry, you know, I'm a concealed carry instructor. If you take a properly taught concealed carry course, you will learn about the proper use of deadly force.
Right.
People think they're going to learn how to shoot a gun. No, that's not why you're at that class. Anybody can shoot a gun and not hurt themselves. You're there to find out about the proper way to use deadly force. That's why you're in a concealed carry class. So I would encourage people to go ahead and take that training so they know about the proper use of deadly force, when you may and when you may not use deadly force.
What about what's your feeling about concealed carry insurance? I'm just curious.
I'm probably the exception for myself because I've been, a criminal investigator now for almost half a century. So I know how to properly deal with authorities under those conditions. Most people don't. They're going to be scared. They're going to be upset. They're going to be emotional. And the likelihood of them saying the wrong thing is pretty strong.
Sure.
That they would. So it's important for the average person who doesn't have the experience that I've got or you got to have that type of insurance to pay for competent legal counsel. That's a very good thing to have. And I encourage people to get it.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's a good idea as well as the knowledge. By the way, you teach the CCW, Concealed Weapons Courses? Is that what I heard?
Yes, I do.
All right. So are you open for business? Are you teaching currently or...
Well, Missouri statute changed 4 years ago that you no longer need a concealed carry permit to carry concealed. So,
got it.
My hillbilly neighbors aren't going to spend a nickel they don't need to. And, well, they won't. I mean, that's just simply the way it is. And, so people stop signing up for the classes. I'm still an instructor for concealed carry at Freedom Center USA down in Lebanon, Missouri. The Facebook page is Freedom Center USA, World Class Tactical Training Center, where, they have regular competitions shooting rifles at targets 10 football fields away, 1,000 yards, 3,000 feet. The winners, Doug, I'll make them, all can hit a target this large, the top 10. The guy who wins will shoot a target at 1,000 yards this big.
That's
at 1,000 yards. Yeah, 1,000 yards away.
And people have this idea.
There's people in Fayetteville. You know what I'm talking about Fayetteville?
Yeah.
There's men in Fayetteville who can shoot a pack of cigarettes from 10 football fields away.
Man. Can you?
Routinely. Routinely.
Okay, just imagine that. Too. And you've got to make use, or you've got to make allowances, not use, but make allowances of the distance, of the wind.
That's all part of the training.
Man.
Reading the wind, estimating distance, knowing that firearm, knowing your optics. Well, since we're talking about that, I'm going to encourage, the purpose of this next few minutes will be to encourage men and women to take training.
Okay.
Okay. I'll set the stage.
All right.
Last fall, myself, taking myself as an example, I began training with my grandfather, rifle, shotguns, pistols, during the Eisenhower administration. I was qualified expert with the M16, the U.S. Army. I'm an NRA-certified rifle instructor. I've competed in high-powered rifle competition. Now, that was all before this past fall of 2019. Last fall of 2019, at Freedom Center USA, I found out I didn't know how to hold a rifle. I didn't know how to shoot a rifle. I didn't even know how to clean a rifle or properly store it in a safe. But by the end of the first day, I was shooting moving targets, 12 by 18 inches moving targets at 600 yards and hitting stationary targets at 1,000 yards before the end of the first day of training. Point being, most of your listeners are not going to have the experience I've got with rifles before I took this training. Very, very tiny percentage. Point being, you may think you're pretty good with a rifle until you get to a tactical training center that knows what they're doing. You'll find out what you don't know. Don't even know how to squeeze the trigger properly. I didn't know how to. I thought I did.
Well, I found out you were in the military. I mean, you should, right?
I'm an NRA certified rifle instructor.
Right.
But I learned things that weekend that the NRA can't teach because they don't know themselves.
Wow. Okay.
I have four certifications as an instructor from the National Rifle Association, and have had since the late 1980s, or about 1990 or so, whenever it was. I've competed with rifles, high-powered rifle competition, but I learned more of those 2 days than I learned of the half century before that in that short course.
So, where can we all take this? Everyone listening to this is a Freedom Center.
There's other places around the country. Another place I'm affiliated with is Freedom Center USA.
All right.
In Lebanon, Missouri. But there's other places. Front Sight out there, not far from Las Vegas. Front Sight is one of the bigger and better ones. They have similar training. And I don't have the list in front of me. But there's other places out there. If they got a 1,000-yard range and qualified instructors, they probably can teach what I learned at Lincoln.
What about, because I'm going to get emails on this, people who maybe have impairments, certain impairments, maybe they're older demographically. Is there any physical limitation? I mean, if you can see, if you can hold a rifle, if you can hold a firearm, you should be able to take these courses or no?
Well, at 1,000 yards, you're not holding anything.
Your trigger
hand is on the rifle, but it's not giving a gentle push against your shoulder, and your offhand is basically being underneath the buttstock with what we call a beanbag to apply or release pressure to raise or lower the elevation of the rifle. The rifle's weight of the rifles being held up by the bipod.
Okay. But I mean, I want to be clear, though, that people listening to this who may be older and say, you know, man, I just don't have the oomph. You're not going through a combat class. You know, you're
tactical training is available, what we call close quarters combat training. That's a whole different type of weapon system. It's a whole different type of training. And it gets pretty physical pretty quick. Of course it does.
Okay. All right. So, but as a rule, what you're talking about, if
precision marksmanship, you're laying on your belly behind a rifle.
Right. Which, yeah,
you know,
kind of one of my favorite positions.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take much strength. You have to have optics suited for your eyesight, obviously. I've seen competitors that had special eyeglasses made that had specialized optics to help them deal with the things they need to do to present to compete in competition. Eye doctor, ophthalmologist, who works with competitors, and any competitive shooting club can probably refer you to an ophthalmologist who works with competitive shooters, because it's specialized optics to allow you to deal with what you need to deal with at that level. But it can be done. It can be done.
Understood. All right. Again, my guest is John Moore every Monday. Not really a guest, but part of the program. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's the website, thelibertyman.com. If you go there, you can see where you can listen to the John Moore Show live on RBN. Just click on that, and you can click through for archives and past programs, of course. That's thelibertyman.com. I want to ask you this, or I want to mention this, since we've been talking about what happened over the last couple of days. I don't know whether you saw this. The Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkan, she came out, and I don't know, again, I don't know if you saw this, but I watched this, and I could not believe what I was hearing. But she blamed white people, specifically white men, for much of the violence and the destruction of the riots. And I know what she meant, but I know what she said, too. I'm not sure there's much difference between the meaning and how it, between what she meant to say and the way it came out. So there's that. We have 50.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was just sickening. What really concerned me, and I want to get your take on this. We saw the White House in lockdown. You had 50 Secret Service agents hurt. And I'm telling you, you know, the White House is not Sun Drugs or the Foot Locker or whatever. The White House is, you ain't getting to the White House. I was just waiting. I don't know how many people out there listening and watching, if they were just waiting too for something to happen. What do you think of that? I mean, the rush against the White House.
Well, I think that for the time being, a perimeter of the White House needs to be extended to include the park across the street.
Yep.
A 200-year-old church burned. I don't know how much damage it sustained. Clearly a criminal act there. So I would extend, I'm not in charge, obviously, but I would extend the perimeter of the White House out to where it's more manageable, make that park off limits to anybody. I'm a big supporter of the First Amendment, but when it comes to protecting the chief executive, we need to do what we got to do. The president was in a secure room in the White House for about an hour, I was told. I'm sure his family is with him. But they didn't evacuate the White House. That would show a cowardice in the face of the enemy. I don't know what happened to these 50 officers, that they were injured. I don't know the details. I hope they had proper protective equipment to protect them in that situation, but hopefully the events of the last 2 days will cause some changes in how the chief executive and the White House is protected, so it doesn't get any worse, and they can properly protect lives and property at the White House. That needs to happen. It absolutely needs to happen, Doug.
Well, you know, I found it very interesting combination of defensive entities. You have in D.C., you had the Metropolitan Police Department, you had the Secret Service, you had Park Police, You had National Guard. I mean, you had a whole litany of agencies, including, it was my understanding, the ATF and the, the ATF as well as the, I'm blanking out here, but a multitude of agencies protecting the president.
Well, the Marines right down the street from the White House, too.
National Guard, right.
Marines are less than a mile away from the White House.
Right.
Barracks there.
Plenty
of manpower. Plenty of manpower.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, today said that professional protesters coming from outside of D.C. were behind.
Good for her, because that's true.
Right.
Good for her.
I'm surprised.
She said that, because that's 100% accurate. The moment the protesters in the park across from the White House became disruptive, disorderly, damaging and destroying property, burning American flags, group of people should have been ordered to disperse, and force should have been used to disperse them if they did not disperse immediately. Their First Amendment rights ended the moment they became violent, became destructive. That's the point where peaceful protest and the First Amendment rights came to a screeching halt.
Right.
And proper force, not deadly force was not called for at that point, I don't believe, but proper use of a force to disperse that crowd and get them to leave should have been used. And apparently if it was done, it wasn't done soon enough. These officers that were injured, they all know each other. They're friends. The officers who were not hurt, they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure they don't get injured tonight. I'm sure the leaders of these agencies, and you're right, there's a lot of agencies involved. The Capitol Police were probably there. I don't know.
Yes.
Washington, D.C. Police, Secret Service, Marines, possibly, ATF, FBI. Everybody wants a piece of the action, I'm sure, to help protect the president. He will be protected. I just want to make sure that the first responders on the scene, that no harm comes to them either. And
well, you saw the church. I mean, the church was burning for quite a while before any fire assets could be brought in. And it took time.
It was too dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too dangerous. They couldn't bring in the fire department because it's too dangerous.
Right.
Very sad situation. A church has been open since what, 1816, something like that?
The Church of the Presidents. I mean, it's been a long time. And before I forget, I'm going to toss this out and then we can hit it whenever. But one thing I saw that I was really looking at very hard is the fact that you've got riots now over in Europe that are much like what they are here in the United States, protesting racism and institutional racism and systemic racism. The same language is being used over in Europe as it is here in the United States, which tells me that there's a bigger agenda behind this. But anyway, I just wanted to toss that out in addition to everything else we're talking about.
Absolutely. Well, you're right. The major cities in Europe are experiencing very similar things. And, of course, people behind are the same people behind what's going on here. These are not spontaneous protests from people who are upset and emotional about Mr. Floyd being murdered. These are paid, professional, organized people, paid and trained and equipped by George Soros and company. To believe anything else is foolish, Doug.
Do you think, when you mention Soros, and you look at people like Rashida Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, de Blasio, and people like him, you know, I mean, all of these people are so far on the far left, the communist column, I suppose, the fifth column here in the United States. To what extent are we seeing, will there be any blowback against these people? For example, Rashida Tlaib, some of the stuff that she's saying, in addition to her being so anti-Israel and anti-Semitic.
I believe Tlaib has a viable candidate.
Yes.
In a primary.
Yes,
and
she does.
There's one thing politicians really fear, it's a well-funded, viable primary candidate, because they can lose, and if they win, they're going to spend a lot of money they didn't want to spend to fight this primary candidate. So that's a good thing, that there's a viable primary candidate against this woman. And it's a female Democrat, of course. So I hope that plenty of money comes in. I don't know the name of that person offhand, sending $20 to that primary candidate would be a good thing. We can't get any worse in Tlaib, can we?
No. And you know what? I apologize for not knowing the other side either. No, you can't get much worse. When you've got her coming out and saying F a National Day of Prayer, obviously, you know, the expletive was used there. When you've got her, the illegal use of campaign money for personal expenses, and then, of course, calling for the $20 an hour minimum wage and such, and then the racism views and her anti-American values and anti-American sentiment. So you've got all of this. And, oh, yes, let's not forget, oh, that little interesting relationship with, what, her brother? You know, okay.
Well, yeah. We know what the legal documentation is. What goes on behind the scenes in private, we don't know.
Yeah, really. I can get that, John, if you want. I'm kidding. All right. We've got about, 13, 14 minutes left of the show. Whatever else you want to get into, because now it's going to be 7 days. It's going to be 168 hours from now before we get together again. What's going to happen in these 168 hours? Or what do you think? What do we need to be paying attention to? It's going to be, hey, maybe next week it's going to be the mushroom cloud over, you know, somewhere or whatever. I don't know.
Figurative mushroom cloud.
Right.
But unless the president puts a hammer down, a hammer in the form of active duty military or taking control of the National Guard, unless he puts a hammer down, these cities will burn. They will. And that's what's going to happen. Unless the president puts the hammer down the next 7 days before we get together again.
But isn't it up to the government?
Puts the hammer down.
I mean, when you say put the hammer down, what does he physically have to do, or what can he do legally, or can he just say?
The president can federalize the National Guard and take control of himself. He has that authority on his own without Congress.
Okay. Yeah, I was waiting for that to come up. Yep.
If he needs to do that, he can do that. If he needs to use the active duty military under the Insurrection Act, he can do that. The quicker, the better. Plans of our enemies are just getting started. They fully intend to burn our cities, and they are, in fact, burning our cities right now. 140 cities have had activity the last several days, and unless the president, I think it's a good phrase, unless the president puts a hammer down to stop it and stop it cold, it's going to get far worse very quickly. And that's not a prediction. That's just a statement of fact, Doug.
I agree. I think we're fighting. I think people need to really understand we're not fighting for equality. This is not about racial equality. We're not fighting about, what happened, or they're not protesting about what happened to George Floyd necessarily. This is about something much bigger, much more orchestrated. Organized. So that's in addition to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, I think we've got, as you point out, the additional communist and Muslim components that we haven't cared is chiming in too, by the way, on a couple of things.
Of course they are. That's a given. We need to keep in mind that there's a huge population of Somali immigrants in Minneapolis.
True.
They don't share our values. They don't share our traditions. They don't share our belief in English common law as a standard that we should live by. They do believe in female mutilation. They believe in being married to two or three women at the same time. And many other things that are just fly in the face of Western civilization. And that's a big component of what's going on in Minneapolis, Doug. It really is.
You know, just as your paper mapped out about the Civil War II, what it would look like. I did come across The Nation, an article in The Nation, this going back to 2017 by Natasha Leonard, the title of which is Anti-Fascists Will Fight Trump's Fascism in the Streets. And she in here describes about the Antifa activists refusing to have any dialogue with anybody and it's total. Their objective is total unrest, anarchy, to upset everything and to burn everything down. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's an interesting article in The Nation back to 2017, and it discusses too the history of the anti-fascism in this century, especially in Europe, and it's really a historical. It's really a good historical paper, I believe, on the rise of this anti-fascist movement.
Right. You know. Right.
So,
they're picking. Even if what they're doing was honest and they really believed in what they were doing, let's look at what fascism is. Fascism is a cooperative effort between major corporations and government to accomplish mutual goals.
There it is. Yes.
So, if that premise is accurate, why do they attack small business owners? By definition, small business owners can't be part of that. You own a shoe store, you have a bar, a restaurant, a convenience store. You're not part of fascism. You're just a family man trying to make a living. You're not a major corporation in cooperation with the federal government. That's what fascism is. And there's plenty of fascism in this country. Major corporations lobbying to make sure they get what they want. But that's not mom-and-pop businesses that are being burned down. That's just simply men and women trying to make a living and feed their family. And that's who's being attacked. That's who's being hurt. They're not going after Boeing or IBM or the major corporations that, in fact, they're engaged in fascism and have been for decades with their lobbying efforts. That's what fascism is. And the way it's typically done, it's legal. I don't like it, but it's legal. The major airlines, the major corporations, the Fortune 500, of course they engage in fascism. That's our system. That is our system. That private corporations hire lobbyists to achieve their goals.
Yes. Yes.
That's the very definition of fascism. But the Antifa people don't go after Fortune 500 companies.
Right.
They go after the little guys trying to make a living in their neighborhoods.
Precisely. And I was thinking you're going to get some flack from people for the way you described that, fascism. But no, you're exactly right.
Well, they may not like it, but that's an accurate description of what fascism is.
Exactly. And people have to understand that.
Fascism can be very benign and very beneficial to the overall population. Doesn't change with the definition, however.
Correct.
Doesn't.
Correct.
When the National Dairy Council convinces the government that raw milk is bad and evil, that's fascism. Even though raw milk is one of the healthiest things a human being can consume and has been for many, many centuries.
Yes. It's very interesting you brought that up too. I was just having a conversation about that over the weekend about raw milk versus what you find in the grocery store, pasteurized milk. And
I drink a gallon of raw milk every week.
I was going to ask you if you consume.
And the eggs I consume were in the chicken a couple of days before.
Uh-huh.
And I consume a 4-ounce steak that's grilled for 60 seconds on each side, basically raw meat.
Right.
That was still walking around the field a few days before.
Exactly. And
plenty of fat, by the way. Lots of cholesterol. I consume all the cholesterol I can consume.
Brain
needs cholesterol to work properly.
Yes, and testosterone.
And people with low cholesterol have more health issues than people with high cholesterol.
Actually, that's true. My doctor doesn't necessarily agree, but we
well, he's wrong.
We have arguments over this all the time. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. The cholesterol and the studies prove that. I mean, about cholesterol and dementia.
The study itself proves it, but then they write a summary that doesn't go along with their own facts in the whole study. These doctors read the summary. They don't read the study. They read a summary that goes against the findings of the study.
That's right. And Big Pharma has a lot to do with this, and oh my goodness.
Well, they're up to their eyeballs on it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yes, they are.
And then we go back to talking about, the possibility of vaccines. And that was when we were talking about this, I wanted to ask you, and I didn't, do you believe it's vaccines are going to be mandatory because of this?
They won't. They can't. The president's already said they won't.
I didn't think so.
They can't.
Yeah.
They won't. They don't need to make them mandatory. 95% of our population will demand them.
That's what you were saying. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that to be the case.
They don't need to make it mandatory.
Yeah.
People be paying bribes to get in line first, Doug.
Yeah. I agree. Just talk to one of my neighbors. I've got more than one neighbor, in case you're listening, Jack. It's not you. Just talk to one of my neighbors. Unbelievable, you know, how people are just, dumbed down. Sorry, but that's the phrase.
What else can you say? They're dumbed down.
Yeah.
People don't read books. Yeah. Your listeners and my listeners actually read books.
That's right.
In my capacity as an investigator, Doug, I've been in hundreds of homes the past half century. In my capacity, and almost never is there a private library. Almost never.
You know, that's funny you should mention that. I was talking to my wife about that. I wonder how many people have today. We're talking about Bibles in homes, and that led me to the larger conversation. I wonder how many people have a bookshelf in their house. And, right. You know, aside from little knickknacks, how many people actually have books anymore? And,
I would say 3 to 5% of the adults in this country have a rack of books in their home.
I'll bet you, yeah. And then we were talking about how many. Yeah.
That's optimistic. And it includes college graduates, by the way.
Which is sad. You know, I don't know about you, but you keep your textbooks, you don't sell them, you know, I get the fact that, you know, it's money's tight when you're in college, perhaps, but unless you've got a sugar daddy or, you know, whatever, I always favored keeping the textbooks for later reference, but that's just me.
Absolutely.
Hey, yep. John, we're out of time, man. You did it, man.
Hey,
you brought us
past 2 hours, my friend.
It was. And you've got a good week of shows coming up. The LibertyMan.com on RBN.
I do.
I love listening to you. Anything we should know about this week or? With your show?
There's no precedence for this week. Every 24 hours is different than the day before. We have a fast-changing world.
We do indeed. And like I said, next week we might be talking about something totally different than what we're talking about now.
It's possible. Watch China. That's all I can say. Watch China.
Watch China. All right. With that, my friend, I appreciate your time, and I'm going to let
you
go.
Sir.
All right.
Okay.
That was John Moore, folks. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. We are up against the close of the program. I can't believe how fast the time went. Folks, visit thelibertyman.com and bookmark that website. Of course, we were referencing his paper from July 5th of last year, and that paper can be found. Scroll down on the on his website, on his webpage, front page, and there's a little map of the United States, red and blue. You'll see it, and it's the text link right underneath that map. All right. Again, remember, folks, Wisconsin Christian News, you got to do it. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. You got to get the paper copy of Wisconsin Christian News. I love it because I can give this out to family, friends, neighbors, anyone. You know, it's just great. WisconsinChristianNews.com. And you also can get a digital subscription in addition to the paper subscription. Why? Because, hey, Coach Dave Dobmeier writes for it. I write for it. And many other talented people with a lot of information write for or columnists contribute to Wisconsin Christian News. So WisconsinChristianNews.com as well as HagmanStore.com. Hagman Store, did you get your coffee yet? Get your coffee, K-cups, whole bean, grind, Detective's Choice, Patriot Blend, Revolution Blend, three kinds, hyper-caffeinated for the Detective's Choice. Oh, it's good. Got some of my coffee mug right now. That's HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. With that. What's that? Yeah, I was wondering. I heard the music and I thought maybe I was getting the
guess
hook.
I can't tell time.
That's fine. That's fine. My program clock went out about, I don't know, 90 seconds ago. But it's your birthday this week. Let's remind people. Follow Erica at Real Tech Eric on Twitter. At Real Tech Eric, it's your birthday this week. How old are you going to be?
You want to tell? I think 35.
Getting old there, bro. Yeah, young man. 35. I don't know, to be young again, right? All right, folks. Hey, keep your head on the swivel. Watch yourself, please. And you know, tonight, we should all be hitting our knees and praying for each other and praying for the fate of our nation. And I do mean that solemnly. All right. Until tomorrow, may God bless. Oh, by the way, Steve Quayle is going to be coming on Thursday. I want to mention that before anything else, too. Steve Quayle on Thursday. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.